Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight was a suburban housewife who made the decision to live what she believed. Her decision led to near abandonment by family and the mocking of her friends. Her mother hired an attorney and tried to take her five small children away from her, and her father-in-law wanted to disown her. Lastly, her brother-in-law asked her to use her maiden name so his family wouldn't be embarrassed. Her name? Eleanor Jositis. And her decision in 1967 was simple: to heal the pain that led to the Detroit riots by forming Focus Hope with Father Bill Cunningham. I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with the co-founder and CEO of Focus Hope, Eleanor Jositis. Eleanor, welcome.
Thank you, Jack.
The first show we ever did 3.5 years ago, you were the guest. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're in the midst of celebrating your 40th anniversary, Focus Hope. How did Focus Hope start?
You know, the mission of Focus Hope today is exactly the mission that it was 40 years ago. Our goal was just to bring the communities together and figure out how we could break down the barriers and how we could give people opportunities in their lives. And we started, Jack, you know, with the mission statement, which is still our mission statement today. And it's, we pledged intelligent and practical action to overcome racism, poverty, and injustice, and to build a metropolitan community where all people may live in freedom, harmony, trust, and affection. Black and white, yellow, brown, and red, from Detroit and its suburbs, of every economic status, national origin, religious persuasion, we join in this covenant. That's what we started with, and that's what our mission and goal is today. And we do it with food programs, we do it with our education programs, we do it with our child care center, we do it with our community action and with community development. You know, it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey.
You're in the midst of celebrating your 40th anniversary. What are you doing special to celebrate?
Oh, we're on March 7th, 2009, we're going to have a big gala, and we're going to celebrate it. We deliberately picked March 7th, 2009, because that's our founding day is March 8th. So this is the end of our 40th and the beginning of our 41st. So that's, save the date. We're going to really celebrate on that one.
You always have a walk in October.
Yes, we do. It's always the second Sunday, and we're going to do it again this year. And the whole purpose of the walk is just to get people together from city and suburbs to enjoy one another and to celebrate our diversity. That's been the goal all along. That's what we're continuing to do. So sign up for that one, too. That's always a good one. Always the second Sunday. And we meet right on Oakman Boulevard. And then we'll walk 4 miles through the neighborhood. And we have lots of music and food. And just, it's great. Lots of activities for the kids.
Eleanor, let's go back 40 years.
Okay.
It's 1968. Father Cunningham has convinced you to come and help him start this new concept, Focus Hope. You've been with him for 6 months, and you tell your husband, Don, honey, we have to move back from the suburbs to the city. That's 1968. Your mom and dad hire an attorney to take your five small children away from you. Father-in-law wanted to disown you. Your brother-in-law asked you to use your maiden name so his family name wouldn't be embarrassed. You're a housewife. Why did you do that?
because I had a passion, because I was a follower of Dr. King, and because I believed in it, and I knew I was doing the right thing. And we moved back because I didn't want to ask anybody to do anything I wasn't willing to do myself. And if I was going to talk about civil and human rights, I was going to live it. Now, you know, my mother changed. She became a strong supporter. And my father-in-law would come to the house every time one of the kids would graduate or get married, and he was always say, your children were beautiful. And last year, my brother-in-law apologized for all the pain he's caused you. But Jack, if I'd have kept that anger in my heart, I'd never been able to accomplish the things we've accomplished at Focus Hope.
A lot of people hold that anger in. I've heard that being bitter is like me taking poison in the hope that you die.
Yeah. No, I. It's over. It's done with. It's not. I know we did the right thing, and I knew we were doing the right thing. And I've said this many times. I can tell you to the exact moment when my life changed. The exact moment.
And that was when?
About 1965. Watching the Nuremberg trials on television and having the program interrupted by the March on Mississippi. And I watched as policemen were riding through giving electric shocks and cattle. And I kept asking myself, what would I have done if I'd have lived in Nazi Germany during that time? Would I have pretended I didn't see anything? Would I become involved in what am I doing about what's going on in my country? Change me just like that.
Talk to us about this Father Bill Cunningham.
Wonderful man. Just a wonderful man, a very, very charismatic, very visionary, and he hated when people would say you're a visionary. He'd say, no, I can't see around the corner. I called him a risk taker. He was a man of tremendous faith and passion, and he knew he wanted to make a difference, and he was not afraid to step outside the box and do something that people said you're crazy.
How did you come to know him, Eleanor?
He was the professor at Sacred Heart Seminary, and he was the weekend pastor at our parish in St. Alfred's and Taylor. And my husband and I would always attend his masses, and then we would invite him over to the house afterwards for dinner, and we became very good friends. But he had a little retreat for married couples, and he asked Don and I if we would attend, and we said yes. And I made the mistake afterwards of saying, great retreat, Father, but did you ever think about doing ABCD? And he said, well, would you come and do it with me? So I managed all of his retreats for a long time. But it was the civil rights movement. I mean, both of us just immediately will walk the streets the day after the riots in Detroit, and there was no discussion. We were just going to do something and do it immediately.
Eleanor, I once made a mistake. I asked you, how could I help?
That was a mistake.
That was an expensive mistake.
Well, ask me again, will you?
We got to go to a commercial. I'm Jack Grisula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Eleanor Jositis, and many, many thousands of people think you are as courageous a woman as they've ever met. Some would say you have audacity, chutzpah. What you ask people to do for you is amazing. You ask them to give you a free building, and then they say, we'll do that. And then you say, but I want it to look like this inside before you give it to me. Where did you ever get that unbelievable courage?
Well, first of all, I think it's faith. But secondly, it was learning from Father Cunningham, because he was not afraid ever to ask anybody to do anything. And I learned early on that people really do want to be asked to do something. I think there are so many people of goodwill that are waiting to be asked to become involved in something. I see it today. I see hundreds and hundreds of executives who will come and prepackage food at our Food Distribution Center. And, you know, when I thank them, they're very, thank you. I really felt good that I could come here and do something today. So I think that it's, first of all, you have a passion, and that's my passion. And I'm not afraid to ask people to get involved.
Do you ever worry? Are you ever afraid?
Now, I'd be lying to you if I tell you that I wasn't worried or afraid. But, yeah, but I think it's my faith and prayer that gets me through. And I'm not afraid to ask people. You know, if I don't know something, I'm more than willing to ask them. But, yeah, but I have a little habit. I get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and I go downstairs and pour a cup of coffee and sit there and say, okay, God, it's your turn. And just, you know, my prayer is always give me the wisdom to listen and the courage to act.
You hear a lot of people say about Southeast Michigan right now that we have no leadership. Community leaders, politicians, business leaders, everybody's afraid to say what's right. What do you say to them, Eleanor?
Well, you know, they're going to have to live with themselves. But if you're an elected official, you have a lot of people that are looking at you and want to make sure that, you know, that you truly are leading. What do I say? You know, it takes courage, because you can be in a position of authority, and one day you're a hero and the next day you're a skunk. You know, what do I say? Do the right thing. And that's what we've got to do. Do the right thing and speak up. And nobody wants to be politically incorrect. We all want to be correct. So we just take it very carefully.
How have these 40 years with Focus Hope changed Eleanor Josias?
Made me very grateful for the blessings that I have in my life. And I'll tell you, Jack, when these young men and women come back and throw their arms around me and say, I got a job, I bought a house, I got married, you know, you changed my life, or I can be out somewhere and somebody will come over and grab my hand and say, I'm so grateful my family grew up on your food program and I'm grateful for that, or grandma's on the program. Those are the things that just energize me to keep going. Particularly the young people in our training programs, all of our education programs, I just see so many lives completely turned around, and I see opportunities for young men and women that normally wouldn't have it. And to me, our mission is intelligent and practical action to overcome racism and poverty, and I don't think you'll ever do that until people have educations and jobs in their life. And that's what warms my heart. That's what keeps me going every single day. And when I'm having a bad day, I'll go down to the child care center and I'll watch 186 beautiful little children in there, and I think, what a blessing.
Thousands of people have come down to Oakman Boulevard to quote-unquote help.
Correct.
And when they get back in the car, they realize they were helped and their spirits were lifted a lot more than they helped. How is that?
Well, you're a perfect example of it yourself. Have you walked down or been down Oakman Boulevard lately and seen the beautiful trees and the park that's in there that you helped us put together? And you came to us right after the tornado and said, how can I help you? And everything was gone. The trees were all gone and the place looked like a war zone. And you helped plant all the trees, and I had to take two buildings down. You helped me put a park in there. And to see the people coming out of the food center, or the seniors coming in there when we have jazz concerts, it just warms your heart. It's like, I give you so much credit. I tell people all the time, thank you for what you've done to help us.
Well, it was Larry Mackle that did the park, right? It was Larry Mackle.
Well, I'll give Larry Mackle credit, yes, but he came because he was a friend of Jack Rasula's.
Speaking about this tornado, 3 weeks after this legendary Father Cunningham dies, and a lot of people thought the thing's over,
right?
Comes to be, you're as strong as he was, but you're 3 weeks into office, this tornado sweeps through one afternoon, $18 million worth of damage.
Right.
How did you handle that?
Well, because, again, all of my colleagues came together and said, how are we going to get past this? Because friends all came and just, you know, it's just one of those things you shake your head and say, well, there must be some reason for this. And let's just keep on going. You have to have a lot of humor, too, because one of Father Cunningham's former students called me from California and he said, oh, Elle, Bill's in heaven 3 weeks and he's messing around and pulls the wrong cord. You have to laugh, but you know it's the people that all came together and wanted to get us through. It was right after Labor Day, or it was after the holiday, and everybody just came and said, what can we do? And picked up boxes and helped cut trees and move trees. So, you know, it's the goodwill of a lot of people that care.
There's been hundreds of unbelievable experiences. What's been the most amazing, the most memorable experience in 40 years?
Probably the fact that I would say Senator Philip Hart saved my life and taught me a lot when we were fighting for the food program for seniors. And we were testifying, and the gentleman sitting next to me from Department of Agriculture brought out so much anger and hatred in me, I wanted to do bodily harm. And it was Senator Hart that took me to lunch afterwards and told me, he said, Elner, you're not going to get anywhere with the violence like that. You'll end up going to the slammer. He said, you got to learn to outsmart them. Thank you, Phil Hart. That was a memorable thing. By the way, that food program now is copied in 32 states. And last month, 43,000 mothers, children, and seniors picked up food from us. And to me, it just taught me so much. It taught me to change my way of doing things and think, okay, how can I do it better? How can I outclass them? Because I meet a lot of people who are angry, who want to say hateful things. And you can hate them or you can outclass them. And I'm outclassing him.
We're talking to Eleanor Josaitis. When we come back, I want to ask her a few more questions about that food center. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Eleanor Josaitis, and the food center that she created has been copied in 32 different states. Eleanor, when you walk into most food centers, you're given a box of food, and you walk out with whatever in that box. You walk into yours, they get a shopping cart, and they pick from shelves what they want. Why do you do that?
Because we'd like to think that the mothers and the seniors that are coming in here, they want to be treated with dignity. We want people to think that, you know, maybe mom's going to the warehouse club. It's just dignity when you can push the shopping cart and take the things you want yourself. That's what we want. We want the little ones to think mom is going to the grocery store. They go through a checkout line that's the same thing you see at the grocery store.
How many people a month do you feed?
It's about a little over 42,000 a month. And they're mostly seniors right now. And I would like to please, please tell everybody, don't assume grandma and grandpa are taken care of. Please, when you go to visit, open up the cupboards and tell Grandma you want a cup of tea before she can tell it's none of your business. The story I get in the telephone call I get every day is, please don't tell my kids I'm having a hard time. But if I could have some food, I'd be okay. So, you know, hunger is real. It is real. And it's not just Detroit. It's Grosse Pointe. It's Birmingham. It's Farmington Hills. It's Ann Arbor. It's places that you never expect. Hunger is real.
Another thing, when you're in the food center, you have a series of PCs. Why?
So that some of them can connect with their kids that are out of state, that might not, they don't know what to do. Also, the little ones, when they can come in there, they can also sit down and play with them. We give books away because we want to feed the mind as well as feed the body. And volunteers give us a lot of books. And you know, when you go to the hotels and you get the soaps and the shampoos and you throw them in your briefcase or you leave them there, we give them to the seniors. So I ask companies and corporations, please, when you travel, save the shampoos and soaps. I'm not asking anybody to steal anything. You've already paid for them. But we give them to the seniors, and that's so important.
In the glory days, your budgets were $100 million. You have more. Your enrollment in your job training program today is higher than it's ever been, but your budget is down 75%. It's at $26 million. How do you stay in business?
Well, we were a Tier 1 and Tier 2 supplier for the automotive company, but we were losing a lot of money, so we had to get out of that. So that was a big portion of it. And then a lot of the people, at one point we had over 800 people that worked with us. That's certainly down to about 320 full-time people now. So we just had to go with all the problems that all of industry was facing. And what we're doing now, we're in the middle of a campaign raising money, and we just got a wonderful grant from the Kresge Foundation and another one from the Ford Foundation in New York, which has been very helpful. And you know, people want to help us, and we're doing it, but it's not a cakewalk for anybody these days.
What contracts have you been getting recently?
We get a lot of contracts. We're doing contracts with the Department of Research, with the Department of Defense, and we just got another contract with the Navy. So that's been very helpful. And then what we're doing, we're forming more and more companies rather than having all of the manufacturing done right at Focus Hope. We're doing a lot of what we call externships, where our engineering students are going out and working at other businesses, like an internship. And that's been very helpful, too.
Eleanor Jositis, these last 6 months with the city and the mayor, the distrust, the fear, the hatred has really been exposed. That scab has come loose. What's the answer?
I think it's going to take a little time to work itself out, but I think the people within Detroit are very resilient. We will turn around and come back again, but we have got to solve the problem with the mayor. This has got to come to a closure. And I know that Jennifer Grandholm has been working very hard on it, and all the attorneys, and I think once that's over and done with, you watch, we'll rebuild again very quickly. There's a lot of very powerful people around here that want to make a difference, and I'm not going to be intimidated by the moment. I'm disappointed in it, and you know, I feel so sorry for his family. But I feel sorry for all the people in this city that are going through this.
One common theme amongst guest after guest has been take risk. And you say Father Cunningham was a risk taker.
Right.
Talk to us about taking risks.
You have to do things that are outside the box. And taking a risk means establishing something new, opening up a business, whatever it is. At Focus Hope, it's starting new education programs. We're taking a risk on that. We don't have a pocket full of money to start a new program, but we're going to start it, and we're modifying all of our programs right now. And we're taking a risk, but we're making the right choice, and that's what we have to do. You have to take a risk. If not, you're just going to be the same old, same old, same old.
Focus Hope has been a shining example of feeding a person for a day versus teaching him or her to fish for life.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
You know, we see so many people on the food program that when we started the Machinist Training Institute, that was a shining moment because we bought Accelo Corporation, we bought Vickers, we bought the Ford Industrial Engine Plant. We turned them all into training state-of-the-art training programs because we wanted to see young men and women have opportunities in their life. It's just not a handout. People want opportunities, and they need that education. And nobody's going anywhere today if you don't have an education. And you can't just drop out of school and go to work in a plant and live happily ever after, because those days are gone too. So for Focus Hope, it's train, educate, and prepare young men and women for the future.
You have case after case of person who came to you for food or went to the institute, got an education, and now are some of your key lieutenants.
Yes, they are, and they're doing very well. And I just took 8 of those young engineering programs up to, students up to Traverse City with me to the automotive briefing, and they were magnificent ambassadors for Focus Hope. And that's what I want. I want more and more ambassadors.
The word on the street, though, is that that 3.5, 4-hour trip, you just coached them every second about what they were to say and do.
Oh, yes. That's right. And I tell them I'm always out there begging for tickets. I want to take them every place I can, but I want them to know all the rules. I want to take them through an etiquette class so they know which fork is theirs and which salad is theirs and how to work a room and how to shake hands with people.
We're talking Eleanor Josaitis. When we come back, we'll talk to her about her philosophy of life. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the CEO and co-founder of Focus Hope, Eleanor Josaitis. Eleanor, on November 1st, 2000, you wrote me your philosophy of life. I'm a firm believer that every person, no matter what their status in life, want the same thing: to be loved, understood, and appreciated. It makes no difference what our skin color, religious beliefs, or national origin, we want to be loved. To make the world a better place, we all have to understand our brothers and sisters and appreciate our differences and celebrate our sameness. Please.
That's still my philosophy today. I believe that with everything in me. You know, I think that it's true. Everybody wants to be loved and appreciated. I don't care if you're the waitress in the McDonald's. You want somebody to say thank you or good morning or hello, how are you? You know, we have a little pen pal program, and the little kids on the second grade write to one another all year long, and then they come to Focus Hope, and they're sitting on the floor, every color, every nationality, creed you can think of, and I'm walking in between these little kids. And the one little kid said, peanut butter. You like peanut butter? I love peanut butter. And I just turned and started to smile. I thought, why do we make life so complicated? It's all about peanut butter. What do you like? What do I like? We don't have to make it that complicated. But that's my philosophy.
Mother Teresa, in her room, had two things on the wall. One was a crucifix, and one was a poem entitled, Do It Anyway. I'd like to read a few of the clauses and have you comment. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway.
Anyway. That's right.
People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway.
That's right. She was right on. You're going to be hurt many times in your life. And I just say outclass them. Just rise above.
What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight.
Exactly.
Build it anyway.
That's right. How do you do? She's right on.
The good you do today, people will forget tomorrow. Nonsense. The good you do today, people will forget later today. Do good anyway.
Right. She's right on. That whole, that you couldn't say it any better. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe in what you're doing and that you're making a difference. And keep going, because there's going to be somebody that tells you you don't know what you're doing.
Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway.
That's exactly right.
What do you say to people that try to live this, and they say, Eleanor, I'm tired. I just get tired.
Say, well, go take a nap. Get up and forget it. That's what the world is about.
And the poem ends this way. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It never was between you and them anyway.
That's right. And remember, God's got a sense of humor. And you don't always know where you're going to go.
How do you want to be remembered, Eleanor Josaitis?
I want my kids, number one, to know I love them, my family. I just want people to know that, say, you know, she made a difference. That's all I want. She made a difference. I want them to remember me as a person who had a passion and lived it. And I heard a saying one time that I love. It said, I would rather see a sermon than hear one. And that oftentimes when I'm walking down the street and I'll bend down and pick up a pop can or a potato chip bag and take it, I always think to myself, I'd rather see a sermon than hear it.
The greatest sermon ever given had no words. If there's listeners tonight that have said in the past, how can I help you? Or they've heard about this and they say, I should get involved. How do they do that?
Oh, I would welcome them. I would tell them to call. I'd arrange a time for they could come down. I would be more than happy to show them all around Focus Hope. There's so many opportunities to get involved. Food program is number one. We have about 16,000 seniors that we have to deliver the food to them every month because they have no means of transportation. So they could get involved. They could adopt a senior and deliver the food. They can certainly help us with books so that we can give them out in the food centers. They can be a mentor to some of the young people that are on our in our training programs. They may a scholarship. I need scholarship money right now for the young men and women who's they want an education, but you know sometimes the money is not there when they need it. So I need scholarship money. I need people that would say, you know, I can't volunteer, but I can write you a check, and I'd say thank you very much. It means as much to me if you come and volunteer as if you come and share your resources with us.
Watching you through the years, everything you decide to take on, you set extremely high expectations, and you don't give on those expectations. Why do you do that?
Because the young people around us need to have people around them that say, these are the expectations, hang on to them, and you will be successful. And I think if you lower standards, people can see that. Why? What good are we going to do to any young person who's going through our training programs if we say, oh, honey, I don't care that you came in a half hour late? Well, who's going to hire him? And then what good have we done if we just pat you on the shoulder and say, honey, I understand the bus didn't come or the dog bit the cat or whatever the excuse is, and then they can't get a job? Well, then shame on us. Hold your expectations high and give people encouragement and the opportunities, and they will grab hold of it.
What do you say to a listener tonight that said, I'm starting out something, I don't have any money, I don't have the best people around me, so I can't have high expectations now. When I get successful, then I'll demand the best.
No, hang on to the high expectations right from the grow, from the very beginning, and then just kind of grow up, and you'll keep them coming. But don't be discouraged. There's going to be times, I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that there weren't times when we were in the ditch and, you know, I thought, oh, how are we ever going to get out of this? Don't lower your standards.
There's a pillar over this community, Southeast Michigan, and a lot of people desperately want hope. They love this place,
right?
But they want something to pick them up. How do they get hope?
Look at the good things. Just let's name a few of the good things that are happening. Just hang on to it. Don't be constantly discouraged. Yes, we all want things to change. Yes, we want our economy to turn around, and it is turning around, but it's going to take some time. But, you know, just don't be discouraged all the time. Look for the, what did they say, look for the silver lining as well?
You've battled cancer the last few years.
Yes.
For a listener that's going through cancer, leukemia, what do you say to them?
You know, when I found out I had cancer, I wasn't going to tell anybody because I didn't want to be a burden. My daughter called me and she said, Mother, do you know how many prayers you'd get if you told people? And my son said, do you think you could slide in and out of the hospital? Nobody would see you. And when I called my colleagues and told them that I had cancer. The hugs, the kisses, the God bless yous. When it went in the newspaper, the flowers, the cards, the love. That got me through it quicker than anything else. I would say to anybody, don't be secret about your cancer, because you got a lot of people who love you, who just want to throw their arms around you and say it's going to be okay.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
To the young listeners, find your passion and wrap your job around it. It's my strongest advice to you. Find your passion. Wrap your job around it. Go after it. Get education and make a difference in the world. There are plenty of opportunities out there. So don't pretend you don't have any opportunity.
Eleanor Josaitis, we've got a lot of treasures in Southeast Michigan. You are one of the biggest.
Thank you, Jack.
And my only regret tonight is that we didn't have time for the one other question, how can I help?
Oh.
But we don't have any time left. Offline. Offline. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke.